Welcome to Noakes Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are doing running back rundown here, going through all 32 teams and checking out the running back situations for all of them. So some of them haven't changed really because of the bye week, but we'll go through them all. Okay, so let's start here with Arizona. And honestly, like, this was the biggest maybe letdown, and like, this is bordering on like Alexander Mattison letdown territory, if we're being totally honest here. You got both Connor and Darrell Williams out. You got Arizona up against Seattle's defense, and like, Seattle had given it up to everyone. And Eno Benjamin goes 15 for 37. He goes 3 for 28 through the air. So that gets you less than 10 points. It's just a total letdown. So you filled the roster spot with it, but you wanted to sort of create an edge there. That's a big disappointment. I get the impression that Connor could be back this week. Darrell Williams seems like it's a little bit of a longer return. Benjamin probably still in an injury away role, but I suspect that I suspect that we're gonna get relatively quick turnaround here, that it is not a sort of a long-term deal. I will say, even if it is, like, this is a spot where they don't have a bye until week 13. So that's one where you could say, all right, like, this he could ring up a couple of starts here if it goes his way. Don't get the impression that we're heading that way, although it is on Thursday night. They are at home. So it's against the Saints, not the greatest matchup. So we'll watch that. I get the impression there's a chance that Connor plays. Benjamin picked up a foot injury. He was estimated as questionable for the Monday practice, although they didn't actually practice. So a little bit of a complicated situation here. Good thing it's early in the week. We'll figure it out. Atlanta, Caleb Huntley led the team with 16 carries, 59 yards. Algier goes 15 carries, 51 yards. Damien Williams is on his way back here coming up. A couple more games without Cordarrelle Patterson. And I believe he's eligible to come back week 9. And they don't have a bye until week 14. So hopefully you can get a little bit of an edge there as you're sort of leading up into that end of the season there. And hopefully you don't need a week 14 win to get in, is kind of what you're hoping for. I think it's officially tough to gauge in terms of how the situation's totally going to unfold. I do think Algier is really the guy here. He plays more on third downs. He played more in short yardage. 31 plays to only 20 for Huntley. Basically, all Huntley's work is some early down stuff. And then Algier is basically the majority of the guy everywhere else. And Algier is the leading guy on early downs as well. So it's Caleb Huntley basically doing almost all of his damage on early downs, with Algier doing more damage on early downs, but spread out sort of around the rest of the backfield. That's actually probably a good sign for Algier, because Avery Williams was doing some third down, some 2-minute drill and stuff at other points. So that's actually a positive indicator in Algier's direction. I think you're looking more at Algier in the flex type consideration, and Caleb Huntley somewhere beyond that. Dobbins in Baltimore, only 8.6 points per game. That's not great. There was a knee issue. It's a weird setup this past week. He played 16 snaps to Kenyon Drake, 7 snaps over the first 3 drives. But then Drake basically played all but 6 offensive snaps the rest of the way. There's some thought that maybe it's the turf that bothered him. I'm not entirely sure what's going on with this deal, so we'll be watching for that and see how this plays out maybe this week. Early practice report should give us an idea of where Dobbins is at in his return. That Meadowlands turf is like often criticized, so we'll definitely be sort of watching this. Hopefully it's just not anything big. But again, Justice Hill out. I think it's the priority right now that I would trust is Dobbins, Justice Hill, and then Kenyon Drake. But if Hill's going to be out, I think Drake's rosterable. Mike Davis is nothing more than just a deep injury stash at this point. Buffalo, 63 snaps for Singletary, 10 for James Cook. Moss was a healthy scratch. It's clear that it's a Singletary backfield, and I think you can start him as a running back too. Outside of that, I think if Singletary's hurt, Moss is still probably the injury away guy. But for specific matchups, they don't necessarily need him, and Cook can sort of suffice as the injury away in-game role. And I think that's kind of what we saw here. So I don't think that this necessarily changes Moss's role, but I think kind of confirms that it is what we've already known, that this is Singletary's job. Carolina officially on the CMC trade watch list. He's running back 3 on the season, so that's solid. I believe that was pending Monday Night Football, so he might be down to 4. He's a top 5 back so far this season. You know, when you look at this, it was actually Foreman playing 10 snaps, running 5 routes, 5 carries. Chuba Hubbard, 4 snaps, 2 apiece of carries, and routes, 1 target. So I think it's Foreman ahead of Hubbard would sort of be my takeaway there. If McCaffrey goes out, I think we feel that there's a pretty good chance that this trade like could happen. So I would be on, you know, proactively be on Foreman and be on Hubbard in advance, and maybe even in some shallower leagues would sort of be my thought. And then listen, if you get to the deadline and there's no deal, like you can kind of reassess that, would be sort of my thought there. All right, next up we've got Chicago, and they, like, again, what a disaster of a Thursday night that game was. I think it's a Montgomery job. Like, would it surprise me if maybe Herbert got more, if Herbert got some more work and it's kind of proven to be of value, it wouldn't be super shocking to me. However, it's 15 carries for Montgomery, 7 for Herbert. It's 30 routes for Montgomery, it's 7 for Herbert. Like, this is Montgomery's job. And I know there were some folks that wanted that to not be the case. Certainly the case. Cincinnati, Joe Mixon up to running back 1 in terms of his expectation. So again, if you're looking for a potential, maybe even a buy low type guy, he's an interesting one. P. Ryan's an injury away guy. I thought there was some potential flex appeal for P. Ryan earlier on in the season. I don't really see that happening. But I'll just give you like a little sneak peek here. Just looking at some keep trade cut values, for example, you look at Mixon running back 10. It's not going to knock your socks off or anything, but if you're looking at sort of, I think a pivot from like Javonte Williams to Joe Mixon's interesting, right? Like, that's an interesting way to sort of take that. I don't necessarily, like, I think you can maybe go up a level using Williams as a package piece to somebody else that's, you know, isn't contending, something like that. But you might not be able to do that if you just trade Williams straight up for Mixon. However, like, running back 1 with basically something a little bit, it's a little bit more than half the value of the running back 1s. I keep trade cut, like, yeah, there's a, I think that there's some scoring value there. Again, he's in there with like Eckler, like right around the running back 1-2 type turn range. And then it's kind of a little bit of a tier break: Najee Harris, Etienne, Dalvin Cook, Jacobs, Ramondre, Derrick Henry are the guys they're after. Like, I do think there's some running back 1 overall equity in that range that's probably not there slightly after. So just the thing to keep in mind if you're looking to sort of pivot between potential spots there. All right, Cleveland. Chubb, it's a big workload edge. Hunt ran 20 routes on 50 dropbacks, but only drew 1 target. If that's going to be the case, that's super problematic. He's only at 50% route participation last week. He's at 40 this week. That's a big problem, and it's only 4 carries. Like, he's quickly working himself out of the flex consideration there. So, again, maybe people haven't caught on to that. You can sort of move him, but, you know, can you move him at the cost of, like, a premium injury away guy? Be interested in exploring that spot. Can you pivot down and pick up additional equity, something like that? Be interested in doing that. But Hunt right now, it's tough to trust him based on his usage pattern. Dallas, this was a bit of a Zeke, I'm not going to say revenge game, but resurgence, I guess would be maybe the word. 13 carries, 81 yards and a touchdown. Pollard goes 11 for 44. Pollard goes 2 for 8 receiving, Zeke 1 for 5. However, Zeke running 21 routes to only 12 for Pollard. So that's a, like, that is a, again, you just, one of these things that I think we can see kind of frequently is that you get a, you really get, like, in this situation, in the Chubb one, at these injury away guys that are also some flex appeal guys, that can be a really it can be really tough to sort of be in on, right? That can be a a troubling place to live if you're not getting some clear starts, right? There is some viability there, but it can also be a headache, and I think you see it in this game. It's really tough to trust Pollard on any given night. I'm recording this super late night on Monday night, so I know the results of Monday Night Football at the time I'm recording, and I'll just say the logo. Talk about someone coming back up. I saw some disparaging quotes on Twitter comparing him to Nathaniel Hackett, and I said, don't you dare ever insult a logo like that. 15 carries, 66 yards in a game where there was just putrid offense. Like, that's not horrible, 4.4 yards a carry. He added one catch for negative 2 yards, which pretty much symbolizes Monday Night Football. I've joked on Twitter that I'm going to run for president of the United States on a one-issue platform. I'm going to mobilize the entirety of the federal government to make primetime games watchable. That's what I am I'm making my platform. So nothing about the economy, nothing like that. We're going to fully leverage the power of the federal government, military, you know, whatever, you name it. We're going to get our brightest minds to figure out how to make primetime football not suck as much as it has the past couple of weeks. I'm still not complaining, just trying to improve. That's the ongoing bit that we've got going on. So Murray's interesting. That's officially interesting. I'm not sure I necessarily love the idea of sort of running him out there next week, but it is. I haven't even checked the stat lines yet. They play. They play the Jets at home, so that should be an interesting matchup there. Jets defense kind of feisty, so. I'm not sure necessarily how the numbers will work out, but I think it's interesting. You have a really hard time playing Gordon right now. Gordon was on the sideline looking totally dejected right in this game. So super interested to sort of see how this pivots. But I'm officially intrigued at the fact that we're getting the logo back at it. Next up, we have the Green Bay Packers. Dylan, a fumble. 10 carries, 41 yards for Dylan. Added 4 catches for 11 yards. Again, there has been some bad offense. We also have a Aaron Jones disappointment, 9 for 19, 3 for 25 through the air. So pretty disappointing there. Again, I trust Jones more confidently than I do Dylan on any given week. But this was actually Dylan, one more carry. They about split routes. So it was Aaron Jones in on 28 of 50 routes. It was Dylan in on 21 of 50 routes. So 28 routes for Jones, 21 for Dylan. You don't love it in terms of this usage. But I saw the best way I can describe this. This feels like something that would happen in Denver. Rodgers came out and said, you know, we need to go back and simplify the offense. And then someone asked Matt LaFleur about it, their head coach, and he was like, yeah, I don't know what that means. So things are going well. Everything's going awesome. Everything's going according to plan. Next up, Houston was on a bye. Of course, they are doing some overhauling of the front office while we're out, which is of course interesting. They wait, they wait to week 2 of the bye, which is interesting. They wait till they're coming back into practice to do that. So it's of course interesting. Indy. JT and Nyheim Hines both out in this game. Thought JT had a pretty good chance to play. It looks like he probably has a good chance to play next week. Deion Jackson went 12 for 42 and a touchdown, had 10 catches, 79 yards. So when I woke up on Sunday morning, I didn't expect that to happen. I actually spot started him in a couple spots where I was like, oh, I could do this or start like Alexander Mattison. I was like, I might as well start Dion. And he was a pretty good success. He himself left with an injury. So I think maybe the takeaway that you have from this game is that he can play and that you you can take some comfort in that going forward, because we didn't really know. We thought more, hey, special teams guy, can he really fit? Like he can at least hack it enough to sort of get 20 touches, and that's awesome in a short sample size. So that's exciting. So he played 54 snaps to 27 for Lindsey. Again, like that's a ton of snaps to play. So just his numbers are inflated because of that. But 10 targets on 34 outs, you'll absolutely take that. Jacksonville, like it's possible that Etienne's actually sneaking up ahead of Robinson. More routes, more snaps, more targets. 10 carries for Etienne, 11 for Robinson. Smashed him in yards, broke a 48-yard run. Etienne did give him a little bit more juice in this offense, and I think they kind of need it. So I wouldn't surprise me if we sort of got to like mid-November and we were like, all right, like Etienne's in every, is an every week top 12 start, something like that, and Robinson is nowhere near that. That wouldn't shock me at all. Last week as well, it was Etienne 40 snaps to 30 for Robinson. Same workload there, right? 9 carries for Etienne, 10 for Robinson. And that was if you remember, there was some game script stuff going on there. But Etienne ran more routes again ahead of Robinson in that game. So this is a consistent trend here the past couple of weeks that I think bears monitoring. But I think you start Robinson sort of at your own peril at this point. And I think you're a little bit more confident in Etienne. I wouldn't necessarily try and sell high on Etienne right now either, because this seems like a spot where like his value could really grow. The Chargers, I put this out on Twitter. You may have seen a game that was horrible on Monday night. All I saw was 14 carries, 37 yards, and a rushing touchdown. 10 catches for 47 yards and a 24.3 PPR points game for Austin Eckler, including one that won me a game by less than 2 points. So all of that terribleness, including 24 touches that went for, less than 90 yards, it all counted to getting me to the victory. So I needed 22 and change, and I got 24, something like that. Maybe 23.1 and I got 24.3 or something like that. So I think it was 1.2 points was the edge that I got. Now I'm looking at it. So yeah, all of it mattered, including all the overtime stuff. So that was good. All right, the Rams. Henderson was at running back 10 in expected points on the week. He had with 15 points expected, 13.2 actual points. So you'll take that. I'm super curious to see what happens with this going forward. Wouldn't shock me if they were in the business of Christian McCaffrey. That would not be something that would surprise me. Akers seems like he's good as gone. Like, this story's weird. It's just super weird. So we'll be watching all of that, how that unfolds here over the rest of the week. But man, what a weird story. He comes all the way back, gets back. They prioritize him in the playoffs, and now like he's run out of town in less than a year. Just wild story for Akers. But I think anything less than a second, I'm not selling him for. If you could get like a liquid second right now, do you do it? Probably. I mean, you can't feel great about this situation. And where does he land right now where it's value? Do you just sort of take the roster spot, take the flexibility? I think I'd probably do that right now. All right, Vegas off this week. So Josh Jacobs is put him on ice and don't let him get hurt. Miami, Mostert the edge in snaps. They split in routes 14-2 in favor of Mostert on the ground. Edmonds was really relegated to 2-minute drill work. This feels like a sneaky landing spot for Christian McCaffrey. I don't even think it's sneaky. Like I feel like this is probably the favorite. If I had to sort of bet, like if I was going to bet, I would bet on Miami being the team that lands them. Shown a willingness to go out in the trade market, have a need, think they're contenders right now. Like, this sort of fits all of the, you know, all the markers for a team that would be in on a guy like Christian McCaffrey and have a need for him too. You know, like, I look at the Bills and everyone's like, oh, the Bills would be a great landing spot. I'm like, maybe, but like, I don't know. Like, I don't think they're necessarily in that business right now. They could be, and it wouldn't shock me, but I think a team like Miami is more likely to be than the Bills are. So that's one that we're watching, and I think that that would reorder, obviously, and probably require an emergency podcast if it happened. That's Chase Edmonds feels like he's completely relegated to a pure injury away role with no flex viability at present. Minnesota, the usage for Cook back up into the good range, so that's good. 45 snaps out of 52 total snaps for the offense. 19 routes to only 4 for Madison, 13-1 carry advantage. So what we saw for a while, I think, was Madison taking some of the taking some of the hits off of Cook because he was hurt. Madison back to a pure injury away guy, 13 for 77 and a touchdown for Cook. You go right back to thinking Madison's just a pure injury away guy at this point. I came away from this New England game thinking that this might be the most dominant running back performance by a New England running back in, like, I can't remember. I heard Corey Dillon's name sort of passed around. I think there was like some peak LeGarrette Blount stuff that was like pretty, like, I remember maybe a game or two where he just like dominated basically every snap, but I don't think it was like the run, the routes run centric stuff that we see here. Stevenson, 25 of 27 routes he was that the running backs ran. He participated on 25 out of 36 total dropbacks. 19 of 23 carries that came from running backs was his. 19 for 76 on the ground. 2 touchdowns. He added 4 for 15 in the receiving game. So 23 touches that goes for 91 yards and 2 touchdowns. Kevin Harris is the next man up, but it feels like Damian Harris might be close. I don't know. They're playing shenanigans with their injury stuff. Like, guys are like walking around the field and they're calling them limited. Like, I don't know. There's some weird stuff going on in New England right now in terms of their injury stuff, particularly with Damian Harris and Mac Jones. So just sort of be aware of that. And I'd be just cognizant that there's some absolute tomfoolery going on, between that and, the whole lot of Havana syndrome being suffered by opposing quarterbacks right now. Just be sort of careful about the voodoo that's coming out of New England. All right, New Orleans. Kamara is 4th in expected points with 18, and he scored 15.3, like fully in the midst of a good season with I think some potential ceiling here. I've heard enough rumblings that I'm quasi-interested that Dalton might be their answer, that Jameis Winston might not get this job back. Feels like Jameis has been out for longer than you would otherwise have expected. So maybe there's some of that going on where they're just not rushing him back and so seeing what they have in Dalton, and maybe it's better. But anyways, I don't think it's really cutting into Kamara. Ingram's a clear injury away guy and taking about, I don't know, like 9 out of 19 carries, so like a third, 11 out of 24 routes. Again, like, what's that, a quarter? You know, so, somewhere in that sort of range. Like, I think it's a pure injury away guy. I don't think Kamara is a pure workhorse or like a bell cow or something like that. But he's I think the bell cow, I think, is like what you would consider like the absolute best, peak Derrick Henry type of deal. See Kamara as basically like the workhorse type back that's getting kind of the pure backup stuff. He's getting that sort of treatment there. So, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty confident in Kamara any week, and I don't think Ingram deserves to be near lineups unless Kamara's hurt. The Giants, I think it's worth monitoring that Barkley's banged up every game. He's had a shoulder came out this week. I think it's the same shoulder that he's had maybe last week too. It's been a couple of weeks now. He's been sort of banged up with some shoulder stuff. Doesn't look like it's preventing him doing anything. 25 touches, 95 yards, and a touchdown. He's running back 1 on the season. That was pending Monday Night Football, and I think it's possible that Austin Eckler jumped him. I'm just checking here. This is stunningly good audio. I don't know if it has. Austin Eckler. Oh, my gosh, yes. Austin Eckler did jump him. By the way, Austin Eckler, I was told this offseason that he did not belong in the conversation for running back one overall, which, children, cover your ears, is a bullshit thing to say out loud. Children, you can uncover your ears. It's just flawed analysis. Eckler's been a dominant running back. And, you know, oh, so he's injured. That's what basically held him back last year. He was out because of a game that he tested positive for COVID. Right? That was basically the difference between him and JT last year. So, again, he's awesome. And he's the running back one by 2.7 points. Like, it is not a close call there. Again, if you're looking to add someone, he's the cheap type of add that isn't necessarily going to break your bank. He's sort of in the back end of the running back one type landscape. And if the person that has him doesn't have, isn't in on contending for whatever reason, right? You could sort of pitch yourself at about how a team that had Austin Eckler on it could not be contending despite the fact that he's good, right? So, like, some, you know, if it's a Waller team, right? If you got Kittle, right? Like, you start putting together, you know, if it's Rodgers, Stafford, right? Like, you could all of a sudden put together a pretty interesting set of guys where Eckler is sort of, is withering away. That's a place where I'd go. I'd talk to that person, right? Eckler's 27, you know. That person is not going to probably see, if they're not contending, is probably not going to see the type of value out of Eckler ever again, right? This is the moment for them to do it. So I would definitely be in on that. I'm probably going to myself look at acquiring some Eckler where I have him, but in the midst where I have that type of situation where I need some running back help, maybe don't have to pay out the nose for it, later first, right? Something sort of around that, like a playoff first. If I have to add players to that, like if it's, you know, non-core guys, I'm interested in doing that, right? I think Eckler can really change your landscape there. So, that's good. I think I got out of order too. I think I might have skipped them on the initial work through there. I might have skipped Kansas City too. Let's see here. I think I did skip Kansas City. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 9 for 33, no catches. Ouch. Basically, McKinnon's playing more snaps than him. But, like, kind of not valuable ones. Only 3 receptions, 21 routes, 2 carries. So, don't feel confident there. Pacheco, only 10 snaps. So, I don't know how I must have missed the Chargers in some way, shape, or form, because I know I started this conversation talking about Barkley. Austin Eckler, awesome. Barkley, awesome as well. All right, the Jets, speaking of awesome, Breece Hall up to running back 6 on the season, up to running back 1 at keep trade cut. That closed in the last, like, call it 18 hours. That definitely changed. I was taking 14, it's probably 14 hours. I don't know. I'm recording this just after midnight, a little after midnight. And I know I took a picture when I was having my coffee this morning, where it showed Breece Hall closing on Jonathan Taylor. So he has passed him at keep trade cut. And again, that happened today at some point in the last, on your Monday, right? At some point during the day on Monday. So notable there, heading in the right direction, valuable asset, you know. Feels like we could be en route to a new running back 1. I would say, though, that I think a little bit of JT good performance is probably firmly capable of knocking Hall, like putting Hall back in a spot, like, hey, chump, you came for me while I was hurt type of deal. And JT goes, 27 carries for, 195 yards and 3 touchdowns. Like, that wouldn't be super surprising. And again, JT, 23 years old, so not old by any means. But again, this is the type of thing you think about. Like, just compare Jonathan Taylor and the season that Eckler had last year. It's really tough. We've only had 3 guys in the last this century that have done a running back 1 season twice. It's really damn hard. And I think that you see that from, you saw that Eckler almost got there last year, right? If it was JT that missed the game instead of Eckler would have got him, was right there. And so you know, you see that in this, like, these things can really happen quick. So again, if you're in a window like this, you have to appreciate it now and be aggressive, right? If you're getting that production, like, this is the time to win. If you have a running back producing at an elite level, especially if you got a couple of them, even if they're in their mid-20s, like, there's nothing assured at this position for the future. That is not an excuse to go out and trade them away. It is motivation to win right now. So, for what that's worth. Miles Sanders up to running back 11, 14.7 points per game. And I'll be totally honest with you, if I'm submitting lineups in any given week, I'm like, like, that's basically my reaction. 18 carries, it's awesome. 15 routes and 30 dropbacks. That's actually not bad for him. Again, then he's got 18 of 29 carry. So again, he's carrying a good market share out of the running back workload. I've been here before. Like, this is this felt very much the way I was sitting on Sunday night watching the Bills game, where you know, the Bills gave the ball back with a minute, and I was like, man, I have lived this life. I know this is deja vu. This feels very much like that with Sanders again. I hope he proves this wrong and finishes as, like, running back 7 on the season. That'd be awesome. That'd be a great story. But in any given week, I still haven't gotten over that sort of the past Sanders tease, you know, the tease arc of his career. I just haven't sort of gotten over that. But with buys and stuff, like, he's totally going to be in your lineups. You know what I mean? It doesn't feel great. Like, there's guys that are performing worse than him that feel better every any given week that you put in. Almost feels a little bit like he's a better producing, or, well, he's a more a snap involved version of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That's kind of what it feels like at this point in their careers. Pittsburgh, Najee Harris, heavy volume, reclaimed his territory as running back 1, 44 snaps, 20 to Jaylen Warren. I say that, like, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek. Jaylen Warren didn't really come and take his job. He just played a lot last week, you know, in a game that kind of was a train wreck for them. 14 carries, 42 yards on the ground, 2 catches, 7 yards, and a touchdown through the air. So you'll take that if you're a Harris owner. But again, it's not great. You're in double digits, but not the high teens with a number like that. So hopefully this will get better as we get the quarterback situation a little bit more stabilized. Seattle, 21 carries, 97 yards, and a touchdown for our boy Kenneth Walker. He has been very good, and he's been very good in the limited opportunities that he has gotten as a runner. Super excited for him to be producing well. I don't believe, as of present, I'll just check this just to make sure that you're... he is down here. Okay. I thought he wasn't going to qualify just because he wasn't where I thought he would be. He's 49th in terms of... I take that back. He is 36th in terms of PFF run grade so far. Yards after contact per attempt, he is at 22. This game was actually down a little bit from where he had been in terms of some of his grading stuff. He started off like a pile of knives. He actually forced 12 missed tackles in this game. This is just absurd. And I'm curious, he forced 12 missed tackles on 21 attempts. Again, that's like, he has forced 22 missed tackles on 44 attempts. That's an outrageous number. And I'm curious to see why the PFF run grade isn't that high. Because, like, there's got to be something that he's doing that is, I don't know if it's missing stuff or if it's just running into contact or what he's doing. But those are outrageously high numbers. Like, that's a lot of broken tackles. So I'd be curious to see sort of why that is. And I might actually send them a question just to get an idea of why, you know, how that can sort of be the case with his split there about why his grade's so low. But needless to say, he's being very productive thus far in terms of his on on the field approach, especially to rushing touchdowns the past 2 weeks, 30 carries and north of 180 yards over the past couple of weeks. So good stuff there for Kenneth Walker, a positive start to his career. He's like a top eight running back over at Keep Trade Cut, so that's optimistic. DJ Dallas, two carries for 1 yard in this game. DJ Dallas, he ran 17 routes to Walker's 15. Walker had 3 targets to 0 for DJ Dallas. So DJ Dallas is basically, he's essentially he's sharing time on third down and he's running 2 minute drill, for what that's worth. All right, Wilson went 7 for 25 for San Francisco, but the game got away from them. 4 carries and 3 yards for Coleman. TDP's back, baby. He's back. Like, I don't think that he's going to walk into a week 7 start, but crazier stuff has happened than that. So I'd keep my eyes peeled, would be sort of the thing that I would say. Just, you know, be attuned to that. If Shanahan just sort of had a little bit of a, he's upset with the fact that that Jeff Wilson lost a fumble, for example, and that if that's something that he is upset about, I believe he's lost a fumble. He's lost a fumble in basically his 2 out of the past 4 games. He lost it this one, and then in week. I believe that's week 3, the Denver game that they had. Some crazier things have happened that Shanahan has done that make me think, like, huh. Just to like side-eye that and be like, could this be a quick return? So keep an eye on that. I'm not going to play TDP first week back, but wouldn't shock me if this went towards him. Wouldn't shock me if it went towards Tevin Coleman either. It wouldn't shock, like, nothing that he will do in terms of usage of a player would shock me. So keep your eyes open, and if it's happening in real time, tune in and enjoy it. All right, Tampa. We're getting to the end here. Tampa, 27 carries, 101 yards, and receiving touchdown for Fournette. Fournette is expected at 18.9 points per game. That is running back 2 in expectations. He is performing at 18.9 points per game. Exactly at expectation. It's a little bit different. Well over expectation as a pass catcher, and he's under as a rusher. Like, that pretty much sums it up. Rashad White, 16 snaps and 72. So that's what, 1/6, a little bit more than 1/6, probably about a quarter or so of them. Quarter would be 64. Yeah, somewhere sort of in that range. It's like 20%. And then he had 9 routes to 30 for Fournette. 4 targets, 4 carries. So, kind of that pure injury away guy at this point. And it feels like Fournette has a little bit better lock on this job than a guy like Kamara does. So, for what that's worth, Washington took 0 minutes. Took 0 minutes for Bryan Edwards to come back in and take, or Bryan Robinson to come back in and take the shot. Bryan Edwards taking someone's job would be an absolute. That, speaking of things that require an emergency podcast, that would be one of them. 27 snaps for Bryan Robinson, 17 for McKissick, 15 for Gibson. He just said, go sit over there and keep that seat warm. 6 routes for Bryan Robinson. This is the curious part. 6 routes for Bryan Robinson, 11 for McKissick, 7 for Gibson. So that's a watch there. Maybe Robinson can't totally consolidate this. And if you're sort of concerned about, if you're concerned about ceiling, right? The argument against Bryan Robinson is, a crummy work share, basically a small market share, 6 routes and 25 dropbacks, right? A quarter of the receiving work. And he's fine. He's got, he's got 17 of their 24 running back carries. That's great, but they suck and they're not going to be up and running that much, right? That's kind of the argument against Bryan Robinson. So we'll see. I think the wide receiver, or the receiving stuff, the routes and that sort of stuff is what you're going to be looking for here. Gibson feels like a pure injury away guy, buying for a third. Bryan Robinson not going to sell for a second. So if you can get more than that, if you can add him and get a first, I don't think that is there for you yet. But if he has another game or so, like, this could really feel like it kind of tracks in that direction. A little bit the way that, like, you know, where it went that way, was last year. I think it was, maybe it was when Akers came back. It's been a couple other spots where, like, it trended quickly in that direction. We didn't really know if the guy was good or not, but he was good enough that you could sell high. Like, that's kind of what you're looking for. I know there's a couple examples that, like, Carlo always uses one. I can't remember off the top of my head who the example of that was, but that has happened. And it was like, hey, we didn't even need to find out. I think it might have been Dylan, where we didn't even need to find out about him. We could trade him at a profit without even knowing. And he's one of those guys that we were kind of able to do that with. Robinson, we could potentially do that with as well, but I think it's going to require maybe another game of kind of proof of concept. And honestly, maybe this is going to sound crazy, but maybe a Tyler Heinicke workload at quarterback actually changes the way they play offense a little bit. Maybe that's more Robinson friendly. So looking forward to all that stuff in terms of how that's going to go. And that does it for the running back position. So that's all 32 teams, or I guess everyone that played this week. And as we look forward, you've got buys, just to keep your eyes sort of open towards the buys. Buffalo, Minnesota, Philly, and the Rams on buys this week. Kansas City and the Chargers next week. And then just sort of keep in mind here, as you look forward, you do have the Thursday night game this week. Probably not going to be super impactful for your, you know, ad drops, anything like that. Saints Cardinals next week, it's actually going to be Ravens Bucks. So again, maybe that's a spot where you say, all right, you're not sure Justice Hill or Drake, right? Kind of like, if there's a spare share out there, take it, heading into this weekend, and then just say, okay, like, all right, I got it. And then kickoff time comes next Thursday, and whatever, there isn't an injury, that's not an exploitable thing, and you just say, all right, fine, I'm going to cut him. Like, that's something to keep an eye on as well. One of those unique situations. We had that a couple years ago. We got a glorious spot start opportunity. I believe that's the Dearness Johnson rule. So I believe that's who it's named after. So keep an eye on that. That's the Justice Hill Drake play coming up this week. All right, that's going to do it for this edition. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.